Amen. Well, listen, I'm supposed to be done in exactly 30 minutes, so I'm going to fly. So put your seatbelts on. Let's go together. I'm just going to warn you right now, I got a ton of verses. Like, of all messages, I picked the message that I'm supposed to preach short, and I add like 25 verses. I don't know, it just kept on coming to me. I was like, all right, I'm just going to write it down. Just going to be obedient to God. But, you know, we're going to put them up on the overhead screen, so don't feel like you have to turn to them all. You can write down the reference, check it out later. Hopefully you check out Bible verses later anyway. But you can follow along that way. But tonight, the title of the message, if you're taking notes, is this: The Boot of Lightning. The Boot of Lightning. Pastor Joe, I've read the Bible quite a few times. I don't think I've ever come across a place where the Bible talks about a boot of lightning. So let me help you understand what I'm talking about today, just so that you can follow along. For those of you, now I've been here, man, when Pastor Dan and Pastor Jess started shift, Pastor Luke and I were here, so we've been here since the beginning. So I think it's safe to say that probably most of you are a little bit familiar with who I am, and so you would then know that on occasion I like to play some Xbox Live. I like to tear some people up. Anyways, where's Adam? Is Adam here? Is one of our interns. I play with him often, but one of the cool things you can do on Xbox Live is you can communicate with your friends, people around the country, people around the world through your little headset, all right? So you got a little headset. I know my wife has done hair, and people have come over, and she's been doing the hair, and they're like, oh my gosh, my pastor plays video games. Yes, he does. All right, so another thing you can do on Xbox Live is you can create what's basically a chat room. Okay, and this way you can talk to your friends and your friends only, and thank God you don't have to talk to the rest of the people out there, because quite frankly, it can get kind of terrible. Now, on occasion, what will happen is while you're playing a game, somebody will be put on your team, they'll be good, so you'll invite them to the party so you guys can communicate and talk and win the game. And every once in a while, you'll get a potty mouth, you'll get a trash talker, and they just will not stop. And so if I could say this to you, I take great pleasure in, after about two or three warnings, giving them the boot. I highlight their name, and I press X as hard as I can, and it pops up on everybody's screen. So-and-so has been booted from the party. And so that's the kind of boot I want to talk to you about today, the boot of lightning. So not a literal boot, but the boot of lightning. And if you brought your Bibles, let's go ahead and turn them to Luke chapter 10, and we'll begin in verse number 17. Here in Luke chapter 10, verse number 17, let me give you a little bit of the background of the story that's taking place so that we can proceed with understanding. Jesus has just gotten done sending out his 70 disciples. Pastor Joe, I thought he only had 12. No, actually he had a lot more than that. And in this particular case, he sent out 70. The Bible says two by two. And he gave them this commission. He says, I want you to go out into the nearby cities, and I want you to heal the sick, and I want you to preach the gospel. Everybody that you come in contact with, everybody that that you heal, that you minister, I want you to say to them, the kingdom of God has come unto you. And if I could just take a time out and say, I'm so thankful that not only did the kingdom of God go unto them way back then, but it has come unto me, and it has come unto you. And as a result, we are saved, we are delivered, we are healed, we are set free, we are blessed, we got a future, we got hope. Is anybody in the house tonight? Because the kingdom of God has come unto us. If indeed God has done any work in your life, it's because his supreme rule has come along and bam, kick the devil's power and the devil's work out of your life. Hello, somebody. And so all of a sudden now in verse number 17, we pick up the story. They have completed their mission, and they have now come back, and they're returning and giving report to Jesus. And they say this: then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Ooh, that just kind of goes off on the inside of me. Turn to your neighbor real quick. You just got to say it with me. Say, I saw Satan. Not last night. Just kidding. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Okay. All right. It goes on. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Your names are written in the book of life. And you know what? I just have to say, I happen to love this picture that Jesus paints here in verse number 18. Satan falling like lightning from heaven. And basically what Jesus is saying here is, listen, make no mistake about it. Let's be clear. Just like lightning fell, the devil has also fallen irrecoverably, clearly, visibly, without any question. The devil has been defeated, and you have the victory now, children of God. The devil has been defeated, and you have the victory now, children of God, because of what Jesus accomplished on the cross through his death, burial, and resurrection. Now, in saying this, I'm not too sure how well this goes over, because I don't think we quite understand all the time who our enemy really is. And if there is anybody, or if there is anything out there that we would have to say is our arch rival, our arch enemy, our number one foe, it would have to be the devil. It would have to be the devil. I mean, of all the things that we encounter, and of all the things that we face, and of all the things that you and I will have to overcome in life, our number one enemy, our arch enemy, our number one rival, he's the devil. His name is the devil. He has been around since the beginning, and he has been humanity's enemy from the very beginning. Number one enemy, number one foe, arch enemy. And not just humanity's, but now even more specifically, Christians' arch enemy, their number one foe. He has been since the very beginning. He will be throughout our lives today, and until the world ends and Jesus closes it all up, he will be our number one enemy. You see, he was the one at work from the very beginning. If you go all the way back to Genesis, you guys know the story. In Genesis chapter 3, all of a sudden here we have a peaceful garden. Adam and Eve are in the garden, chilling, hanging out, spending time with God. And the next thing you know, a serpent shows up and says, hey, I think that you should eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the same tree that God told you not to. I know that God told you not to, but here's the reality. You're not going to die if you eat it like he said. And here's the other reality. He really told you that he didn't want you to eat from it because really God doesn't want you to be like him. God doesn't want you to know the difference between good and evil. And so the Bible says Eve was deceived. She ate. She gave to her husband and he ate. And what do we have as a result? Life as we now know it. Life as we now know it. People have come to me and say, Pastor Joe, how could God ever allow somebody like Hitler to ever take power and do the things that he has done? And oftentimes Christians, we get into a place where we begin to question God. Is God really there? Is God really real? I've had people come up to me and say, Pastor Joe, you know, I've got this tragedy. I've got this serious thing going on in my life. And I just wonder, is God really the one who's causing these things to happen to me to try to teach me a lesson? And because we fail to understand who our enemy is, and because we fail to understand what he's all about, we get everything all twisted and we get off of track. And that's why Paul comes along in the New Testament and he says to you and to me, he says, listen, I do not want you to be ignorant of the devil's devices. You need to know who your enemy is. You need to know what he's up to. If you know who he is and you know what he's up to, then when he comes along, you can defeat him. And through this understanding, you'll be enabled to be victorious in your life. The Bible says here in Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 12, put it up on the overhead screen. It says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Hey, listen, the problem is not necessarily your husband today. The problem today is not necessarily your wife. The problem today is not necessarily your children. The problem today is not necessarily your boss or your coworkers or your teachers at school. The problem is not, see, you need to understand some things. You need to recognize some things. You need to come to a place where you are able to recognize if the devil is behind some of the things that are taking place in your life so you can give him the boot of lightning. I don't want you to be ignorant. So he says here in Ephesians chapter 6, 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. This is who we wrestle against. This is who we're fighting. This is the enemy on the other team. Against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. After you've done everything, when you do what Jesus says to do, you'll be enabled to stand. So stand. So stand. But recognize who your enemy is. It's not the people around you. It's not your neighbor. It's not your neighbor's cat, not your neighbor's dog. Okay? Your enemy is the evil one, the wicked one. He has been from the very beginning. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 2. Talking about before salvation came to you and I. It says, in which you once walked according to the course of this world. Watch this. According to the prince of the power of the air. the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Who is the one at work in the lives of unbelievers? The Bible is very clear. The prince of the power of the air, the devil, he's the one at work. Check this out. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 19. I need you to see this. I want you to see this. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. He's the orchestrator. He's the originator. He's the one behind. Now listen, I don't want anybody here walking out today with this devil mindset that every time a crisis or a problem or a situation comes up, somehow it's the devil behind it. But what I do need people, what God does want you to do is, again, gain some understanding about who your enemy is and what he's up to, so that when he is active in your life, you can recognize it and you can give him the boot instead of giving your dog the boot. That's what makes this verse here. I hopefully you're still there in Luke chapter 10. That's what makes this verse here so cool. See, one day, the devil, in all of his craftiness, all of his wisdom, you know, it's funny, I was reading some commentary on this, and the Jews, they considered the serpent as a direct representation direct symbolism of the devil, kind of like we do today a little bit. Okay, and they regarded the devil as this very wise, crafty, one full of trickery, and so when Jesus says here in verse number 19, it says, "Behold, I give you authority to trample upon serpents," he's saying literally, "I'm giving you authority to trample upon devils." All of their craftiness, all of their so-called wisdom, all of their power, all of their ability, all of their schemes, all of their plans, regardless of how dark, regardless of how ugly, I'm giving you the authority to trample upon them. And that's what makes this verse so beautiful, that I saw Satan fall like lightning, because, see, one day, the devil, all of his craftiness, all of his cunning, all of his wisdom, all of his giftings, all of his power, and a third of the angels that he brought with him, try to stand up to God and say, "God, here I am, I'm going to exalt myself now. It's my turn to take the throne." In the blink of an eye, bam! Like lightning from heaven. Hello, somebody. In the blink of an eye, God didn't. He didn't have to take one breath. He didn't have to think about it. This wasn't some war that waged for hours and weeks and months and years. Bam! Like lightning fell from heaven. Yes, praise Jesus. That's what I was doing while I was preparing. Hallelujah! I almost ran around my room. The devil has been defeated. He's been kicked out of heaven. Now, continuing our story, so he gets a new idea, he gets a new plan, and he comes along, and he says, and he decides that he's going to mess with humanity, like we talked about, through Adam and Eve, and of course, throughout the rest of history. And so it's kind of like Jesus says, "All right, two can play at that game, sucker." And he came down here, and he kicked his butt again through his death, burial, and resurrection. And then he comes along, and now again, in verse number 19, "Now behold, I give you the authority." The authority that humanity had given up, surrendered to the devil, put themselves on the track of his orchestration of life. Is everybody following me? Are these words too big for y'all? Because you're looking at me like, you know. So, all right, all of a sudden we're on the wrong track. We're under his sway, under his guidance, under his leading. And Jesus comes down, defeats him, and says, "Now behold, I give to you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." No matter how dark, no matter how ugly, listen, no matter what your lot has been in life, you've got to know, while it may have been the devil's original plan for you, you can be victorious in your life. Because Jesus has now given you and me the victory. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 19, I love what it says. Excuse me, not 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 8. "For this reason, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." That's why he's come, and now he's given you the victory. Listen, if the devil was defeated once, you got to know he can be defeated again. If you can accomplish something one time, you got to know you can do it again. I remember as an elementary, in my elementary years, in fact, probably even younger than that, my adolescence, my mom would take me to swimming lessons, and I hated it freaked me out. I was did not want to get in the water. In fact, my cousin, just a few years older than me, I was not at his swimming lessons, but it's been told around the family that my cousin Chris was so scared that as soon as his mom dropped him off inside of the chain link fence area, he would take off running. Lifeguards chasing him, swimming teachers chasing him. He ran up to the chain link fence and started to climb it and had to be pried off the chain link fence a number of times to get him in the water. And I remember getting swimming lessons. I was scared, holding on to the side of the pool, knowing I couldn't reach the bottom. My life is on the line here. And the teacher says, "All right, I want you to turn around now. I want you to push off and swim to me just like we practiced." Come on. All right. And so all of a sudden, all right, with all my might, shaken and scared and everything, here I go, and I push off. All I got to do is reach like 2 or 3 feet, all right, the first time. But once I did it once, I realized, I can do it again. In fact, so much so that now I jump in the pool, I don't think twice. I jump in the ocean, I don't think twice. Because, see, once something is accomplished one time, you know it could be done again. That's why you never read that Jesus or God has ever been conquered, because it cannot be done. The devil, on the other hand, he was kicked out of heaven. He was booted out of your life. And now you got the authority to do it again and again and again all throughout your life until you acquire all that God has for you. So thank God he was booted out of heaven, all right? So now God has given you authority and given you the boot of lightning, if you will, to kick the devil out of your life. So number one today, you need to boot temptation. Boot temptation. Temptation is a devil-designed thing. Hello, somebody. He's the originator of temptation. Sure people now, they tempt other people, and even people tempt themselves. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But he's the author of it, not God. Listen, when you are tempted, let's just be very clear. It is not Jesus who is tempting you. James chapter 1, verse number 13. Let no one say when he is tempted, "I am tempted by God." For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. You're not being tempted by God. If you're facing a temptation in your life, the devil's probably behind it. Now, let's just be clear. Not every time you face a temptation is the devil behind it. And to keep this verse in context and to be fair and to be truthful, the Bible goes on to say here in James chapter 1, verse number 14, talks about people are drawn into temptation by their own carnal desires. All right, so it can be one or the other. But again, I want you to see the origination of temptation was the devil. Look at what 1 Thessalonians 3:5 says. For this reason, Paul says, "For this reason, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter had tempted you and our labor might be in vain." He is the tempter. The devil is the tempter. You know, one of the ways me and Adam like to greet each other when we get online and he joins my party is he gets online. His Xbox Live name is Napoleon, by the way. All right, don't worry about what that means. It's not important. But he gets online and I get online and I say to him, "Is that the Napoleon?" And he goes, "Is that the last bullet bender?" And what are you, when somebody says, "I am the chess player, I am the soccer player, I am," what are they doing? I am the whatever, they have exalted themselves to number one, the man. That's right. And that's what that's what Paul is saying here. The devil is the tempter. He's the originator, okay? And you can boot him from your life. James 4:7, "Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." In the middle of your temptation, Pastor Joe, what am I supposed to do? You are supposed to submit to God, resist the devil, and the Bible says that the devil will flee from you. Isn't that how it went down in Jesus' life? When he was here and the Holy Spirit took him out to the wilderness, and the Bible says he was tempted 40 days by the devil, what did Jesus do? Jesus resisted him, and the Bible says that eventually the devil fled. It does say that the devil waited for an opportune time to come back and mess with Jesus. So just know that once you boot him out, he's going to come back and try something else, and you just boot him out again. Everybody following me? Okay? But that's how it went down in Jesus' life. He submitted to God, he resisted the devil, and the devil fled from him. Now, on the other hand, if your temptation is the result of your own carnal desires, okay, sometimes a good anointed "no!" out loud will do you some good. I don't care who's around. If it's in your house, in front of your wife, in front of your husband, in front of your kids, "No! I ain't going there. I ain't doing that. If it's in the middle, listen, if you are with your fellow employees and like, come on, nobody's going to see you take some cash out of the register. No! All the customers turn around like, something is something going down? It's about time we embarrass the flesh before the flesh embarrasses us. What do you say? A good anointed no out loud. How about this one? A good anointed memory verse that you've put to heart out loud. Isn't that what Jesus did? No, devil, it is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. No, devil, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve. No, devil. It's some out loud declarations of what we know to be true. Okay, now listen to me. You can get involved. You can go and search. You can search all the self-help books, all the self-help advice you can get in the entire world. I'm here to tell you today that God is the one who's going to help you through your temptation and out of your temptation. He is the one who hardens people to sin. Thank God today I don't have to have a hard heart toward righteousness, but God, once he softens my heart and he brings me to a place where I enjoy his goodness, he'll now harden my heart to sin so that I do not allow that stuff in my life anymore. God is the one who's going to bring you out of temptation. Hebrews chapter 2, 16 through 18, I love it. It says, for indeed he does not give aid to angels, help to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham, that's you. Therefore, in all things he made himself like his brethren, like humanity, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. I got good news for you today. You can boot temptation by the power of the Holy Spirit. Not by might, nor by power, but by his Spirit, says the Lord. He will aid you. He will help you in the midst of your temptation. Romans chapter 7, verse 23 to 25. But I see another, 1 Corinthians 10, 13, No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation, when you are tempted, when the temptation is being presented to you, at the same time, God will present to you a way of escape. Do yourself a favor and take it. All of a sudden, you get a call. Hey, you want to hang out? I think I'm gonna go. I'm not gonna stay in this environment. Then I'm gonna leave. Where I'm gonna leave the bar. I'm gonna leave the club. I'm gonna leave wherever I got to. I'm gonna why? Because that call is a way of escape being given to you by God. Romans 7, 23, 25. Paul knew what it was like to be tempted, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. God will give you the victory. God is for you. He's not against you. And he will bring you out of temptation so you can boot it like you should. Number two, boot oppression. Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Hey, listen, today, if you've got oppression in your life, what is that? If you want to look up this verse and this word and get technical, oppression means to lay heavy on somebody, to lay on their mind. Devil would love nothing more than to play racquetball with your mind sometimes. Depression and confusion and this constant battle, this constant, you know, Paul talks about how the devil buffeted him. Buffet means to strike blow after blow after blow after, listen, you're having bad dreams, that's some oppression, and you need to take out the boot of lightning and say, in the name of Jesus, get out my house. You can boot oppression at the name. Notice verse number 17, Luke 10:17. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. It's at the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, all right? Finally today, number three, you can boot lies. Again, as we said earlier, because the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And you know, it's quite amazing to me how much the church has been under fire this last decade. We just had a forum with youth, and they were asking questions, and this question got brought up, and it's been presented to me a few times. Pastor Joe, didn't God make plants? Yes, so can't we smoke them? No, you can't. And this young man came up to me after the service and was debating with me why or why not smoking pot, smoking weed, was a sin. Anyways, by the end of the conversation, I said, he mentioned to me he actually had an illness of some kind, and so that's what his excuse for smoking weed. And I said, you know, listen, how about this? How about trust God for your healing? You're depending on, and you're looking to weed, and it's not going to do it. You know, it's not going to heal you. Why not step out in faith? Do you know about healing? Come to find out, he's not even a Christian. So I said, do you want to give God all of your heart? Do you want to give God all of your life? No. Then why are you even talking to me about whether or not this is? But this is how the world operates. Hey, it's okay to be homosexual and Christian. No, it's not. It's not, and I don't mean that in hate toward anybody. I'm not trying to bash on anybody. I'm not calling anybody names today. I'm just simply telling you what the Bible has to say. But this is what's being presented to us. Never so much, except the last decade, have I seen such an attack on church. You can't say Merry Christmas now during the holidays. It's Happy Holidays everywhere that you go. Starbucks, Happy Holidays. Cold, Happy Holidays. And I sometimes get, ugh, Merry Christmas, you little sucker. I feel like becoming the devil. Your boss won't hear you say it. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. Okay. But and so a wrong way of living is going to be presented to you, submitted to you, all right, through the lifestyles and through people. And it's interesting to me, the Bible talks about there's a spirit of the Antichrist in the world. And as time goes by, it will only get worse and worse. What is Antichrist? It's just simply anti-God. And anything that's, he's out, the spirit of the devil, of the Antichrist, is out to come against the things of God. And 1 John gives us this beautiful verse. I'm going to read it to you. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 4. He says, here's how you differentiate between somebody who's from God and somebody who's not. Any spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Any spirit who does not is not. Pretty simple, right? They're both in the world. We talked about that in Jude. And he says in 1 John 4:4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he that is in this world. As much as they want to present lies and reason lies and give you a lie of a lifestyle, because you have the spirit of truth on the inside of you, you can say, I have an anointing from God that leads me and guides me into all truth. I know that's not true. That's not of my Jesus. I'm not going to follow in that way. I'm going to go the way God would have me to go. Because God lives on the inside of you. That's what this verse is talking about. You are of God, little children, and have overcome these other people in the world, because he who is in you is greater than he that's in the world. And Jesus goes even as far to say, and I'll close with this, that one day, the day is coming, the time is coming, where people will no longer be able to hear what you have to say. And so they'll bring you before magistrates and before rulers and before judges, and they're going to ask you to give an account. And Jesus says, hey, listen, in that time and in that hour, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Fear him who has the power not only to kill the body, but then after he kills the body, to cast into hell. You fear him. He's going to take care of you. And in fact, when you stand before these people, don't even prepare something to say before you get there. Because the Spirit in that moment will fill your mouth with what you need to say. And just like Stephen, you will confound those who confront you. And you will give a reason for the hope that is in you and that is in Christ Jesus. Why? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. And by doing so, you boot the lie out of your life instead of letting it take root and take you where the devil would have you go. If you got something from good from God's word, you can give him a great big praise.